Okay. Hello, how are you? Good, I guess. I saw most of you have delivered the first task. Is it anybody that had a problem delivering the first task or haven't done it? You can come and talk to me, because it's important that we the first task delivery over the blackboard. What I would like us to do today is two things really. We're going to do some practical work on web guidelines for web, and particularly WCAG, and you're going to have a practical workshop also. A little bit continuation from last workshop, where we started with some questions about universal design and inclusive design. But of course, that is a huge area, and we actually have a usability lab here, dedicated, a big hangar, a big, almost a factory for how to build and try out things for government and for companies and so on. It's here down on the other side of the river here. So, I will also come back to the theme of inclusive design during the whole semester, during this course, but the whole semester, because that's one of the areas that I work in. And I'm very critical towards universal design and what it can do. But since many of you also have a background not from Norway, you have come to the most universally designed country in the world. Maybe if you in competition with Sweden. So, and of course, U.S. has a tradition of working with guidelines for people with disabilities, people with reading disabilities, with other disabilities, and you have a long, long tradition in the U.S. Or they have a long tradition concerning giving aid to war veterans and developing physical help prostheses and so on. But when it comes to implementing the law in the area where you are working, very much when it comes to interaction design for web, for mobile phones and so on, from 2014, there's a law in Norway. It says that not only governmental websites has to be accessible and adopted following a certain standard calling WCAG. I will get into this, but also all the private companies has to follow this. That has in the first round that has public should be accessible for the public. But what company do not have a website that should be accessible to the public? So it's a very hard laws in Norway, the hardest in the world. And that is something that is good for you, for us. It makes it does that we have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of assignments. Okay, but I will get back to that. But first, I would like to. Maybe this is clear for you, and then it's a repetition. But we have a group task number two. For delivering on the 11th, and that is inclusive design. So it's fairly when it I just want to say something about the tasks, because when it's somebody of you ask me, can I do this? Can I use this citation standard format? Can I? The important thing when it comes to the tasks, it's only approved or not approved. And And the important thing is that you make an argument, you discuss, you are open with why you choose a certain, for instance, this task that you delivered now, should I explain all of Blackboard or can I pick a little part? Can I only focus on the mobile app or can I focus on the first logging page? Of course you can. And it's a very small task. The thing is that we want you to start to discuss and start to make arguments about why you choose a certain solution or a certain, yeah. So does that make sense? And that goes for all the tasks, that it's approved and or not approved. What we are looking for is that you, what you say you will do is what you will do. So for 500 to 1,000 words, it's not so much. You can't do so much, but you can discuss and be very focused. Is it anybody that does not have access to the Blackboard now? Have everybody seen this page? It's course information page, this one. All right. And also, now I'm talking for the people off-campus students that I hope you also manage to create groups for the tasks. And if not, we have to arrange a Skype meeting and talk about how we can form groups. And also for you who is on campus, if you don't feel that you know what to do and your group needs some extra work or some extra tutoring advice, you can contact me and book a Skype meeting. And that's perfectly all right. Yes. And for the schedule for today and tomorrow. Today, Sebastian Brage Hansen, who works in Evry, he works in industry. He cannot come today. You will meet him at two other occasions, but that's okay. Öyvind and I will guide you through the practical exercises today with a focus on web content accessibility guidelines. If this is something you have worked very much with, there are other guidelines you could look at instead. Is somebody here that worked especially with the guidelines about web accessibility? Nobody? Okay, that's fine. Then in the afternoon you will have workshops with me and Öyvind, and we will see if we continue in, it says it's room C11 here in this building also, but maybe we will go up to the Makerspace, the design werkstatt, because it's there's coffee and it's much more, I think it's much more cozy, and also you can you have some tools and you have some glasses you can try on and do some testing. Tomorrow you will have, yeah, and just before lunch Frode Wollen will also come by with some PhD students that are doing a test where they need people, users trying out, and this is I'm very happy if you do this, and this is also good for you to try to be in the user seat as many times as possible. Just do these things, and it's very good for you. Then it's questionable. You can ask yourself, is it good for real users that we only use college students or university students to do the tests? But that's another question. So you will have plenty of opportunities to get out and try out with real users also. Yes, and tomorrow will be about PACT analysis, cognitive walkthrough. Frode will have a lecture, and you will meet me and Øyvind again to do some practical exercises. All right, but let's see here now. The story about WCAG and the accessibility guidelines for web really starts here, and in 1948, where there's a Declaration of Human Rights, as you maybe know, and there it says that basically that everybody is equal, but also that we should have equal right to culture, to leisure, to health, to school, a lot of things. And this has also been described then in Charter 32 and 32 that is particularly deal with disabilities, people with disabilities. That could also be people with a dementia. It's not an illness, it's just people living their lives. But you also have a charter about from the Ottawa Charter that the World Health Organization, WHO, have adopted based on these principles. And why I'm showing you this is because what Norway has done and what we have done in most of Scandinavia, but also in the rest of the world, is adopt these human rights and under human rights, UN, disability rights, or rights for people with disabilities, and adopted them and put them right into our legislation for the government. Meaning that if you go here, there is a rule that makes the architects, they have to think about how they place the buttons on the wall. It's in the regulation of how you build a building. Not only that it should have a roof and isolation, since it's cold here, it should have ventilation if you should use it for work or studies. All those very hardware things are written in, but also that a person in a wheelchair should be able to reach the button. Also, if you go into we will do exercises later this day, but if you go into the bathrooms, to the restrooms, you find some, of course, toilet specially or restroom specially made for people with disabilities, but you also find that, for instance, alarm buttons, they are not here, but on the floor or pretty low, because people that fall out of a wheelchair should be able to reach them. If they are up here, they won't reach them, and so on. So there's a lot of regulations that goes into all buildings. And when it comes to web, it is also very very strict. But not all countries has written it into the law, and not all countries are practicing these rules. So what are these rules? There's even a known department in the government called DIFI, the Directorate for Förvaltning och IKT, for administration and ICT, that has particular focus on these issues. And this is typically, you have it in English. Otherwise, you can always find it in bokmål, nynorsk, and sami in Norway. So you can, it's not always in English, but you can always find it in sami. And I really love it. So, but here it is. They call it, okay. So you have some you have some what do you say? Some part of it is in English, but not the rules, not the regulations. I will get back to this. But basically, this is in Norwegian, I know, but who should follow the rules? And what kind of ICT solutions that this law and regulation guidelines are meant to affect? It says net solutions, everything on net, applications, apps, different domains, foreign servers, automats, all the kiosks, all where you buy tickets, machines, and everything. Even if you're a private company, you have to follow the rules here. Even if you have a coffee machine inside a building here, or inside a private company, you have to follow the rules. And again, I say this because I don't think any other country has driven it that far, and this is good for us because it means more work for us. And it's actually since 2014, I don't know where the deadline is, but it's maybe 2020, I have to check that, but it means that this is a work that is not fulfilled yet. So not only all the new solutions should follow this, but also it's retroactive, so the old ones should follow it. 2025, okay. Okay, we will get, I have some English slides also, so. But it's about what you can perceive, texts, time-based medias. I will get it in English, you get. But it concerns use of graphics and following the type of perception rules that Frode went through last time. Working very much with the contrasts. And if you're watching the floors here, also the floors has been changed. Many of the floors has some sort of guidance, both in colors. So if you have a black floor, you normally have a white stripe in the middle with some sort of perforated something that stands up so you can feel it with a blind stick or cane, or you can follow it just by feeling with your foot. When it comes to web, you have to have a version that are more gives brighter contrasts. And when it comes to colors, you have to think about people that are colorblind and how they perceive it. So it should work in black and white and so on. You have been a big discussion in Norway and Sweden about security. And you have this CAPTCHA when you register, not saying you're not a robot. You know, when you have to fill out and say, I'm not a robot, and you have to write something strange numbers or that are distorted and that cannot be recognized by a robot yet, or maybe they can already, but it's because how can we give people with a cognitive or mental disability access to the web, and why shouldn't they be able to pay, use the net bank and be able to pay an order from Amazon? Why should they have to have help with doing that? And can we do it so it's secure, so they don't get fooled by con men on the web and so on, or robots? And this is again back to it's really a question about human rights. This is how the Norwegian government has decided to interpret it. So it is about what you in a democratic country should be able to do. And as is stated in the WHO, the World Health Organization's Ottawa Charter, it's from the 80s. I can show it here, but it's where they state is that all these type of being able to not only get help, it's not about getting help, it's about being able to do yourself. It's about being co-creative, about master your own life, not only cope with your disease, but to master and as much as possible be included in the society and feel that you're in control. And what 1986, yes, what the Ottawa Charter, WHO decided on in Ottawa in Canada in 86 was that already back then a lot of evidence showed that your health improved considerably if you could master, if you could have control yourself. So in order to do that, we have to have services that empower you, not disable you. And this is a big question about what is disability and so on, but it's getting away from only taking away obstacles, but to make services that are health promoting. So health promotion, that's the word in the Ottawa Charter. Here you see health promotion. So not only take away the disease or give you a prosthesis, but give you as not only take away the pain or give as you do very much today with elderly people with dementia. It's not an illness, but they get a lot of medicine and antidepressives and so on. Instead, they could give them music and make them able to cook their own food. And because you then are engaged and co-create in your everyday, you will get your health will improve, and you will also be able to do more. Then you will, if your health improve, and then maybe you can get off your medication, and you can do your own banking services on the net. So it's something. And again, it's very good for us because it's a lot of work that has to be done to make not only the minimum, not only that the what the I'm in quarrel with the many architects. They take the minimum standard. They say now we have put the button here, then we have done our work, finished. But as an interaction designer, that doesn't make sense because you have to, or if you work with any kind of user interface, you have to make it possible for many people to use it. So in the projects I'm working and with the people I work together with, we don't talk about universal design anymore, but design for a diversity. So a diverse group of people or different group of people should be able to use the same solution. And when you program and you do interactive stuff, interaction on web or on mobile phone, for instance, then you can make it changeable and flexible, and so you can adapt it, so the individual person can adapt it. But why I want to show you this is because there's a direct link between, yes, we live in under this is a sort of a regulation, but that has been made law in Norwegian regulation. It actually has health promoting potentials, and yes, your services following this, but also understanding this is a business opportunity, this is an innovation opportunity. So it's not only something we should do because we are good, it's actually a real business opportunity. And perhaps you have seen statistics on how many elderly people, how many people there are over 65 years old today, and how it will develop in the future. I went to a lecture yesterday with a Japanese researcher who developed the Paro seal, an Internet of Things, a robot that looks like a seal, and you cuddle with it and it moves and it says woo and so on. It's very cute, but it's used en masse out into the elderly centers and to children with disability, autistic children that uses it to communicate with and so on. So it's and what he said, that the main focus for and this is huge business, he's a milliardaire, this Japanese guy, and because of selling a seal. It doesn't make sense, but again, this is a country of Tamagotchis, and I don't know if you remember them, but things that we don't think could sell. But this is in an area where there's a massive need, and I think now in the world it's 1 trillion people that needs that are over 65 years old, and in the sorry, that's in dollar. It was what it's not true. It's, but it's in Japan, 25% of all people are over 65. It's mostly the same in Europe, a little lower in the US, but in 2050, that will have doubled, they think. So up to 50% of all. Not, of course, in all over the globe, but in Europe and in US and in particular in Japan, where people get very old. This is my point is, this is a business opportunity and an innovation opportunity, and it's a democratic and a health opportunity. Okay. And when it comes to VCAG, you will get these pages and you will have practical assignments to work through services afterwards. But I just want to show you the websites, because it's not in my PowerPoint. It is, and they are all the time they are updating this. But you know about the V3C consortium? It's a consortium. If not, it's a consortium behind and developing the HTML, the protocol, and new adoptions. So they decide if on standards that people mostly follow, because HTML5, for instance, is a huge standard. You will as a company, you want to follow the standard, because then you can get access to more clients. So here, the universal design principles, and it should be accessible to all. It goes hand in hand with business. So, but the V3C, they are very important. They have then developed this VCAG 1 and then VCAG 2, and now they 2.1. I think they are the latest version, but they talk about perceivable, operable, understandable, and robust. And perceivable means that, for instance, you should provide text alternatives for non-text content. And this is very simple. If you have an image, you should always, and this is something you can, in the regulation, can be get a fine. You can get condemned if you don't follow those rules. So if you have a company, you should always have a system for, or you should always apply it to making a description of the picture, a description of a table, a description of, and this is, we don't think about it. You have a field that you fill out, but sometimes we cheat if we do our own websites. But the thing is, you have to put yourself in the shoes of somebody that will have a text machine reading from the web. And if it doesn't say anything as the description of the image, yeah, there are other alternatives. You can have a robot scanning the image and translate it and try to figure out what the motive is. But it's much more easy if you have tagged the content. If you have written metadata or just the what the image is supposed to display. You understand? Yeah, it's nothing new, but to make this systematically, that's the point. And again, it's not because you are good, or it's because it's a business opportunity. If you don't write that line, maybe you lose that one customer. So it's something about what I also like us to give you on this theme is that you have to make, when you get out into business, you have to have make an argument with your boss, perhaps, that why should you spend another week? That's the salary your boss has to pay you. Or why should a customer, a client, have to pay for this? Yes, because it's a business opportunity. Yes, because you want to have a... it says in your vision here or your mission that you should make it accessible to all. Shouldn't you follow that? So you have to know about the regulation in your country or where you are going to practice. You have to know about how to do it, the techniques, and but also how to make an argument when you should make somebody a customer or your boss to invest in it. Does that make sense? Okay. It's about provide captions and alternatives for multimedia, create content that can present it in different ways. And this is also interested, what they mean. And you will have the opportunity to look at this, but to be presented in different ways, if you work with somebody that can't see, it's pretty obvious that it should have, you should be able to read it back, yes? But what about you want to use colors, you want to use, you have to translate it into something else. How can we do that? How can we translate a text, a website into something else? Can we do that? Can you feel the website? Can you have a tactile feedback on the website? Yeah.
To some degree, if you actually have some device that actually presents and vibrates when you hover over something, and well, it tells you whether you hover over, you can use it.
You mentioned Braille, and what is that?
Well, Braille is the national standard for the alphabet, which you can actually hear.
Yeah, so actually when you touch signs or when they have small dots that but there are machines that translate directly to like our keyboards, so you can feel the so you can read Braille not only on a paper where you have made it convex, you make small dots that stands up. Have you tried Braille?
Yeah
okay. But so there are very high-tech Internet of Things solutions with hardware that translates, and but there are also other possibilities. And last Sunday I went, a colleague of mine, since I work in this multisensory business and Sanserum in Norwegian, with the children that are deaf blind and they only have a small narrow voice, they don't have a language, but of course they do have a language. And this last Sunday a colleague of mine said that we should go to the sensory church. So in Norway there's a sensory church for, yes you say, why not, for people that are deaf blind. They don't hear anything, they don't see anything. How do you spread the gospel to somebody that doesn't hear and doesn't see? That's a real question for those people. And when if you're not a churchgoer, translate that into web. How can you translate Facebook to somebody that is deaf and blind? And of course, I see a lot of really good research projects, and there are very many research projects, but it's also an interesting question for how you as interaction designers, maybe the most interesting ideas, it's not that all of them are great business ideas, but all the most great business research ideas I got from meeting with people that has disabilities, because it's so hard. This may be the hardest thing you can do as a designer, to design for that group. And that's why I think it's worthwhile. Not because I feel good doing it, not because it's a business opportunity, because I work in academia, but it is, but because it's maybe the hardest thing I can do, I think. So, but enough about the politics of it, because there's a lot of very practical good problems for you to find solutions to that are good for you in this educational setting. And if you're in doubt of the relation between doing things for universal design for all and business opportunities, there is another institution in Norway it's called DOGA, the Center for Design and Architecture, and where in also Innovation Norway, that has yearly and Innovation Norway is a huge organization where all the big companies in Norway are industries are involved, and in particular web and people working professionally with the user experience and interaction design. And the DOGA, they have a particular program for design for all, where the whole their argument and their mandate from the government is to design for all is to make out of a problem this is Design for All International, but on based on the problem in universal design, you make it first for let's say elderly or a person with a disability, physical disability perhaps, or of cognitive, and then you make a version that based on that research or that product, you make something for all. And a very non-web example is OXO, the American company making kitchen utilities and so on. Maybe you've seen them. Things like that is first made for person with disability. Maybe you have seen the saw with a grip like this, or sorry, a knife, a bread knife, that you hold like this, not like this, but it's sort of a it looks like this, so you hold here instead of just if this is a knife and the normal knife looks like this, instead you hold like this, so that makes it possible for elderly people to use it. But this bread knife has been sold en masse a lot, because if grandma can use it, we can use it, and then it becomes a fashion to use it. But things like this build on that idea that it's designed for all. Designed for a particular person with disability, a particular disability, can make it possible to design for all. And of course, the same goes for the web. Just a few more words about these words here. Make all functionality available from a keyboard. And this is about the Braille argument that what other types of keyboards would you need? Huh? Voice? Yeah. How do you think about that? Do you mean you hear when you push A that it's an A, or okay? Or somebody that works with sound would say, maybe you can take away the keyboard and you can talk to it instead. Talk to the, why not, why press A when you can say A? And the computer can understand you and translate it. And the algorithms for translating, so you can talk to you, are very getting very good. Maybe some of you who have Macs can have used Siri,
yeah.
The service, yeah. Try to use it. Try to use it for a day or so. Not when you should do an exam, but but I urge you to do that. Try out to limit your own possibilities and see if you can train. I know for some time I got. Now I'm not using mouse very much, but for many years I was sitting doing a lot of editing in sound and video and so on, and used mouse. So I got. My doctor forbid me to use my right hand. What should I do? I have to train my left hand. And it took 2 weeks, and then I was fluently mouse user, left-hand mouse user. But I don't expect you to use only Siri for 2 weeks and not the other stuff, but it's a great thing to do since you're in an educational setting to try to develop empathy towards people who don't see or don't, yeah. The Braille, you can think about people that has a cognitive disability. You say what you see is what you get. Principle, that's a principle. And it's that keyboard is very used. I don't look at my keyboard. I'm not that. I'm typing like this. I'm not fluently. What do you call it when you? It's a certain method you use. Touch. Thank you. But I'm a bit like this. But I don't look at my keyboard anymore. And if I start looking at it, I fail to write. So it's. Yeah, I don't know about you, but there are also people with cognitive disabilities. That where you can take away things. Maybe you have to make a bigger keyboard. Maybe you can, if you have very much, very difficult cognitive disabilities, maybe you have to have a picture of mom and dad and your friend and
maybe light on the bottom.
Yeah, maybe light, yeah. Maybe you can change it contextually, so you have one keyboard for when you're at home, one for when you're at school, and so you and the context and the environment around you will help you to understand what you're doing. But you're seeing picture phones where you have pictures that you push. A person that can't read knows to I should push the green button with the mother's portrait on when I should call mother and so on. It's nothing new, but the thing is that when you do it on web, it's accessible to all. It means that you should think about all. If you follow Norwegian regulations. Yeah, give users enough time to read and use content. I often think about these 5, 4, 3 seconds YouTube videos. I don't know if anybody above 40 can. I mean, if you're below 40, this is not the problem. But what about elderly people? What about people that doesn't catch the now very much of the or what's happened on Facebook or in all the media is tailored for a particular person or your. Gang, your friends, your hood, but still, there's something about time and to catch a message. And sadly, the ones that are most expressive and very clear are the con men. So they said, oh, here you have an opportunity, or now you must download this version and install it, otherwise your system will crash. So the fine messages that we want people to get, they don't, and the ones that want to hurt us come with the most bold statements and so on. And I think if you don't get the small messages, let's say on Facebook, or to take another example, Amazon, the people that bought this book also bought this, then that could be relevant for you. But if you only see the commercials for toasters or heat socks or something else that they have targeted you for, then you think about that you only see when you get to Amazon, you only see things that are not relevant for you. You don't get the good stuff in the service like Amazon, who the one that you look alike, that have your interests, and they read the same type of books, have read this book. That's a point with Amazon, as I see it, of their recommender system. But if you don't get that, how sad. Only commercials, no relevant functionality. But you can change this. Yeah, and of course, make text readable and understandable. Not only the images and how you replace images with text, also the text. I mean, okay, readable, as you change the size and you change the font there's a particular font that is approved by Disability Association. What is it called? It's called, do anybody know? The particular font? You don't know about it? It's called, actually we use it on our website, so, but it's a sans serif, of course. What sorry? Verdana? No, it's not. It's approved by the. Oh, it's called.
Open Sans?
No. No. Trebuchet, MS. Okay, you understand. It's but one thing is to change the font, but what is much more important, I think, is the content, to make it understandable, not only readable. And how do you do that? I mean, you have something that your customer want to communicate, and they want to use a lot of text, you want to limit it, but can you make one text for a person that has cognitive disabilities? Or, I mean, one thing is to translate the text to Braille, but another thing is, should you make one for cognitive level one, cognitive for children, for, I mean, how should you do it? For Norwegians and non-Norwegians, for, how should we do this? It's also a context and a cultural understanding that comes into this. And I don't have the answer, but this is, it's, take people from the Middle East who write in Arabic, from left to right, from bottom to, I mean, it's not only that you translate it, you have to make people understand cross-cultural thing, and you have to have a reading of it that for that particular person. perhaps. And coming from Sweden, and the land of IKEA, we think that one size fits all, and it doesn't. It's a horrible thought, and IKEA has made a big profit from it. But still, it has to a little bit change their products in Asia, in Latin America. In Latin America, smaller beds, not so tall people, smaller beds, smaller apartments. Asia, in Hong Kong, a whole family is squeezed into 50 square meters, and then it's a huge flat for them, 50 square meters. This is not strange. You have to have, but still, it's a horrible idea to have one size fits all, I think. So, let's see if something more here. Yeah, help users navigate and find content. And this is also, this is not only a functional question. This is a technical question. How do you do it? How you detect that somebody needs help? Can you do that? How long they spent but not finding anything? Can you use your, should you be able to use how people look at the page? That we learned from Frode last week with the eye tracker machine. When you use an eye tracker, you can see if people actually just are not focused or if they read the text and so on. Can we help them? Of course, we can do a lot of very interesting tracking. And we can also see what their friends are reading. So we already know, even if you don't want to give up your privacy, we know a lot about you based on who your friends are and so on. So we could target and make websites change dynamically after who enters them, not only by us saying I'm a person with disability, I need help, because that's not maybe a good way to sell your product. But it's also an aesthetic question, and if you think about, when I say aesthetics, I mean interaction design as a discipline where you use colors, you use narratives, stories to get people hooked, to make them want to engage and get co-creative and vitalized and so on, and to make people download an app and use. Banks know a lot about this. How should you make people not give up their own old safe systems, but downloading the app and start using their mobile phone? Everybody knows it's questionable when it comes to security to use your mobile phone for bank services, but everybody also understands that this is the future. And I look at the persons at the security, IT security now, but or computer science, because this is a huge question. Everybody knows that that we will not go to a banking machine and get money from the wall and so far into the future. We will use our old mobile phone. Why not? You have VIPs. Somebody? A service where you transfer money directly and so on. So this is the future. But how can we limit the... But the one other thing is the aesthetical part. Do you make people want to use this fantastic technology that is not safe? How can you make them want to see the possibilities? Then you have to make the introductory movies about. You have to make the online, the direct support in the HTML. You have to use JavaScript that helps people come over the most emergent immediate problems and so on, how to use the service. You can't expect them to lift the telephone, a call, a support line. You have to have a chat that is they can reach from your mobile phone. There's a lot of things that you can, and these are also aesthetical and narrative or experiential, if you want, user experience things. And there's a lot of, when you do user studies and go out and ask users later in this course now, then there's a lot of examples of how how you sit with the user and you say, can you please, my favorite example is rocket science. It's not rocket science, Krug's book about making usability testing easy. Not do the big usability test in the end of your development. Do it every Tuesday for 2 hours, like a clock. And don't book hundreds of people. Take persons from the corridor or ask two people to join and do the test. Because you as a designer get so much back from that. And my favorite example is when Krug is sitting down with a person who should order a car, lent car, what do you call it, Hertz or Avis or something. It's not that, but those types of services. And she's not able at all to do it. She doesn't understand how the different, she get confused by different pricing and she doesn't understand where she should pick up the car, and she wants a car in her area and so on and so on. So it shows that the core things that you should solve in a service like renting a car on web, that doesn't work for that user. And then you can ask why and so on. But so navigation, to be able to navigate is a very important, and find content is, I mean, it's a core thing you have to do on web. And if you don't manage to do that, then you have failed as an interaction designer, and your customer will lose money. Okay, predictable is also something that you can talk about, particularly in relation to aesthetics. And also that the service should be predictable. You should make it, it's not that your service is alone in the world. People are used to use it. You know about the sale of the iPhone when it came in 2006 something? Was it 2006? It was a revelation for many people, but a revolution for the industry. Nobody had held an iPhone, but a lot of people that were interested already knew how it worked when they got it. How could that be? iPhone, it was a technology that has never existed. I remember my old Nokia, I still had an antenna, because the engineer thought that this is a radio transmitter, so you should have an antenna. And then this smartphone came. Of course, they did a lot of user studies, and they asked people how they wanted to use it and so on. But they made the video about it. And this is about prediction. So all the potential buyers of iPhone in 2006 had seen, or many of them had seen, the video of how to use it beforehand. And it one thing is the iPhone, but it's also a hugely successful campaign for educating people. Think about that. They know about your product before they have bought it. That's prediction. The thing you are doing in our web is not that innovative, perhaps. But so could be much easier for you to. And it is easy if you use and build on standards and guidelines like VCAG, on what people, common sense really, when it comes to the particular area you are doing them. Common sense on web, the culture that you're in. The particular users you're working with, and if they have disabilities, and almost everybody has some sort of disability. If it's cognitive, or if it's socially, or if it's medically, or if it's has to do with language, dyslexia. When they made, in Norway, they made a survey about how many design students that had some sort of dyslexia. I think it was something like 30%. So even the designers have difficulties. If you didn't know that, we are not immune. Yeah, and then it says robust, maximize compatibility with current and future user tools. And this is, I see it, yes, you have the WCAG standard, you have the standard of guidelines for the company you're working in. That's also very important. And actually, but you also have a cultural standards and symbols that you use and so on, ways to communicate that's in your particular culture or subculture. Have you heard about iPodding? This is 10 years ago or so, but a particular subculture of people using iPods, deciding on the web where to meet, and then everybody met up at a particular place, and they were dancing with their own iPod music on the air. So they danced together, but with their own music. It's the movement called iPodding. I don't know if they do it anymore, but you can find very very narrow communities or cultures if you want to. Okay. What I want you to do now is to take look at the WCAG guidelines, take a particular website you want to look on at. You can take, for me, you can do it in groups, of course. You can choose your own. If you don't have any ideas, choose Blackboard. But I also would like you to not only look at, start with WCAG, but then also look at some other usability guidelines. And this is EOS Human Interface Guidelines. These are the Android developer guidelines. So take one of these, or you can find another big company that has their own guidelines. So I want you to first look at WCAG and see how the website or the service, you can be very particular if you want to, how the service works, if it follows the guidelines. See if you understand the guidelines, and also try to think out of the box. It's not only about changing the text size. It's about, okay, let's say that you also choose, in order for you not to choose yourself, choose a particular group that has a disability, that you think has a disability, and it could be cognitive, it could be blindness, it could be deaf. Yeah, how do you spell that? AF. Yes, thank you. You see, I'm a bit dyslexic here at the board. It could be, of course, physical. You could be a wheelchair user. You could have a prosthesis. And one thing is that you should be able to use this. And you can say if you have a physical disability, you can still use the web. Yes, of course you can. But you might see other stuff, and you might have other eyes. You might have other. You might react to that. You're not. Some of these people. Particular people that have a physical disability, they are very strong politically and intellectually. So it's something about you would not like to offend somebody in a wheelchair, if you understand my meaning. But you can also think that okay, let's start with that. You can add to this list if you like to. So. Take one web page, one web service, one mobile service, and look at it through WCAG and another of those guidelines, and see if it works for one of these. Choose, select one, and you can also compare it to normal users. And then the question is, are there any normal users? And I would say no. So I want you to try to discuss that in the group. And I would say that if you say normal, then something is unnormal or anormal or abnormal. I don't buy that. Then we're here again. Everybody is equal. So that's my bottom line. That's my, I don't go for the, so my solution to that would be that you talked about, yes, you can talk about universal design, but then it's maybe something God can give us. I don't, I'm not sure about that, but I would urge you to think about diversity. Diversity. And in Norwegian, that would be mangfold. But if you put those groups just as a rhetorical exercise against each other, then it should work for both of those groups. Okay? Do you understand this assignment? And let's up. If you have worked for a company that has its own guidelines that you know about, or that you have to follow some guidelines in the past, you can use them also. VCAG and some other guidelines. And if you need to start, you can get to this page. It's a good start. Okay? And now it's 11:25. And let's take a break and we will have lunch at 12. So, or 10 past 12, something like that. And until 1 o'clock again. So take a short break now and start to discuss in groups. And you can continue after lunch also.
If they don't
Denmark is even more don't apply this strong.
Denmark doesn't apply as much as Norway?
No. And not to United States. But what you see is talking about the return on investment, that little advantage, you can say disadvantage that you have to follow stronger rules made the region more innovative. So they get
Det er veldig bra. det är ganska öppet, men jag kan säga att
ska vara till ditt ämne.
Är det så att liksom uppgave 1 till 4 ska samlas i uppgave 5?
Eller ja, det kommer ni göra sen, så vi kommer beskriva allihop.
Okej, okay, för då skönjer jag liksom inte helt hur den inte då är tillknyttad till Blackboard. Då blir den ju bara liksom...
Det är tänkt att det ska vara utifrån Blackboard, ja, eller Front, det var det förra gången.
Ja.
Men jag tycker det kan bli lite smalt. Alltså, det är lite väl så NTNU-fokus. Alltså, det finns en värld utan NTNU. Så, men vill ni använda Blackboard hela vägen, då kan man ju se på appen någon gång. Man kan se på nettsidan en gång. Man kan välja brukargrupper här nu som är de som inte ser. Eller man kan försöka välja lärare som är brukargrupper. Man kan välja studenter. Då kan man variera det. Så att man kan hålla sig till Blackboard.
Ja.
Men... om ni väldigt gärna vill se på Snapchat eller Slack eller så är det mycket roligt att ni i gruppen får bestämma det.
Och så sa du att de uppgav här, de var godkänt, inte godkänt, men de tälls ju 60%.
Ja.
Hvordan funker det? Når får vi noen karakter på siste levering, eller er det...
Ni får karakter på...
Hjemmeksamen.
Så ni har jo 40% kvar på hjemmeksamen.
Ja, ja. Men hva er de 60%? Hva er det bare godkjent, ikke godkjent?
De 60 er bare godkjent, ikke godkjent.
Ok. Ja, hvordan veier det opp når du får karakterer? Liksom, på vanligvis da, så har jeg, hvis det delt opp i leveringer og ikke da, hvis jeg har en karakter da, og jeg har... B på innleveringene, og så får jeg C på eksamen, så trekker jeg det med opp til B.
Ja, men er du godkjent, så er det det individuelle som räknas då.
Okay.
Ja. Ja. Så det, man kan säga det är just... Du kan säga att grupparbetet ska du bara klara av.
Ja.
Så, men om du inte klarar av det, så klarar du av det.
Så du får den karaktären du får på examen?
Ja, men då säger att du klarar tre av dem. Två av dem klarar du inte av alls.
Ja.
Eller två av dem, ja, då...
Ja,
vi skulle göra om dem, så egentligen kan du...
Men vill det säga att vi får en slags karaktär, eller?
Ja, ni får karaktär.
Ja, vi får det, ja. Nej, men på gruppoppgavene. På gruppoppgavene.
Nej.
Men är det så att vi skulle måste få godkänt, så är det värt att se. Ja.
Okej.
Kan jag få lov att få kallt?
Ja, men det är rätt.
Hallå?
I have invited a couple of guys here, Peter Jensen from the Kolle Lab, and postdoc student Michael. They want to tell you, or they want to try to get some of you to participate in an experiment down in the Kolle Lab. So let's hear what they have to say to you, and what they can offer you.
You want to give a short introduction, how should I do that?
Thanks for that. Yes, I'm a member of the Kolle Lab, so my main field is images.
I know one of the chapters.
Color management and color measurement. And right now we do have a collaboration project with the University of Dundee in Scotland with a research fellow, Michael Margaret, who has been here one week already in June. And now he has been here for 10 days and will continue until end of next week. And Michael, in conjunction with his group in Dundee, have generated a kind of a calibration tool to calibrate these kind of projected devices.
And maybe you can tell a little bit more what the project is all about and why you're here. I want to ask you to participate in the project.
So the basic idea of the project is that you might have to do a class or a presentation, and you want to make sure that the projector is kind of calibrated. You don't have a lot of time, you don't want to haul around a lot of fancy equipment, so all you have is your laptop and your phone. So we developed a system that allows you to do a quick and dirty on-the-fly calibration just using your phone and your laptop display, where you just use our system and then you get a calibration. And now we want to test how well this system sets up against the common ways of calibrating, where you have specific devices that measure the projector in a longer procedure. And in the study, we want kind of you to use all of these different techniques to figure out which one works best for you, which you like, and which comments you have on the different techniques that are available. And during the study, you will have the chance to use our system, a few other systems for camera calibration, and at the end of the study, there might be other techniques. So that's kind of the main incentive.
So the task might take approximately half an hour done in the lab, including kind of a short introduction to the project and the task which we are asking to do. And then it's three different type of systems to evaluate or to do a setup. And then after that task or that session, we also would like to have your feedback and also sort of a oral base.
Yeah. So we are planning to do most of the study hopefully on Friday.
Yeah.
Otherwise, maybe early next week, but we are trying to get it through on Friday. So if you're interested, we have kind of contact information. You can just take.
So are you on campus on Friday? This Friday? Who is on campus this Friday? Okay.
It's a very good opportunity to get acquaintance with the Color Lab, I think.
Yeah, and in addition, I just talked to Frode. So this type of usability tests, we assume that this could also be beneficial for you. For your future master program, in thinking of how to set up such a usability test and how to conduct and also how to evaluate. So I assume this is some sort of important part for this kind of study program as well.
Absolutely.
So we will benefit, and you will benefit from that. So it would be really helpful if you could support our on Friday with spending half an hour off down in the lab.
But should I collect their
no, we've got
the list?
Information. So if you're interested, just get in touch with us, and
okay.
We'll try to set up a time slot.
Yes.
But I will make you remember it in the end of the day.
Yes, can you please
okay.
Put some emphasis on
yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So always good.
Thank you very much.
To participate in these kinds of experiments.
So. That will take it in the A building, in the basement. That is where we have our labs. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. And since you're silent now, I got two questions about the assignment that I think it was really good. And one question was about cognitive. What do I mean with cognitive disability? And for instance, if I'm grown up, but I have the mind or I have the ability to learn and understand as a 3 year old, then I have a cognitive disability. The 3 year old doesn't have a disability, but you still have to think about the cognitive level. A 3 year old girl or boy have a certain cognitive level. And then you come here, what is normal? So then you have to compare it to that perhaps, or yeah. So cognitive, you can say
learning abilities, if you think about years, I can understand the word physical, perhaps when I can read and I'm 6 years old, but I don't understand what it means and how to separate it from psychological, or, I mean, I don't have a vocabulary, so it's not only to understand the text, it's about how you understand the whole concept. And the other thing was, I got a question about, or really a comment about, how would you convey an employer? And somebody has said it would be hard to convey an employer or a company you work for, a boss, that you should spend a week more on this, these kind of things. But I think you should try to make an argument in your group. Do they do that? And would you be able to? If you want to change something, how should you make arguments about it? Think very concretely. Return on investment. You should either increase revenue, increase what you get in, or you should lower the costs. That's a hard fact of the business. And I know a lot of Norwegian web companies that, because you have stronger laws here, sell more services and are more innovative than Swedish or Danish that don't have the same strong laws. So it's something about making the arguments and also make, I mean, okay, it's a risk, you invest another week here on me, but you will, and you don't know it, but we can show here, or I can make arguments that you will reach a bigger audience on this. And big companies that have succeeded in this, of course they have a lot of money, are companies like Microsoft, Apple, and it's something about they understand. It's not only because Bill Gates is very good and help starving people in Africa, but it's of course a business. It's part of his vision and mission, but it's also part of a strategy. He knows that he will sell more software if he does it. So it's not only a philanthrop, it's also a very good businessman. So my comment back to you would be then, try to make an argument that this website you look at, how does it work, and but also try to make a more argument about how would you change it and improve it if you would talk to your boss about it also. Okay? So work a little bit more until I will leave here at 12:10. Okay.